The Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? Unlike a car with its user's manual, we are born without instructions how to live. We experience life vicissitudes without a so-called user's manual. The Gita has been described as such a guide. These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda, which he has been delivering for more than 25 years. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, so last time we have seen that the advice from Bhagavad Gita is raise yourself by the self. Uddharat atmanah atmanam na atmanam avasad. Don't let the self fall. Raise yourself by the self. We all really know in life that the only one who can really help oneself is one's own self. Only my own efforts will raise me out of the situation I'm in. But the connotation here is that raise your lower self by the higher self. The self in me which remains constant all throughout all these changes of birth and death, as we have seen in the last chapter 2, that is imperishable, immutable, untaintable, let that self raise your lower self, which is suffering right now by its own limitations. I can't stand limitations because my true nature is limitless. So now the only thing I can do is let my higher self raise my lower self to the same level the higher self is. So I say, raise yourself by yourself. Don't let yourself fall. Don't let your lower self go even further down. And that's because it says the higher self is a friend of the lower self when this lower self is conquered by the higher self. When the lower self starts identifying with the higher self, recognizing its existence, there is something beyond this day-to-day life which I live. There's something beyond the life which I consider started at my birth and will end at my death. When I start recognizing this and make that higher self a friend of this lower self, I'll be able to pull the lower self out of its present state of misery. But it's the same self, higher self, can be the enemy of the lower self. If my ego fails to recognize that there is something beyond this limited self, then the same higher self will act as if it's enemy, because it will let you go down further and further into this misery by empowering you to do the wrong thing. Higher self will empower you to do whatever you wish you to do. And if the ego goes down into the lower and lower plane of existence, it will be empowered by the same higher self. Just as a car out of control is empowered by the same gas which is in the tank, which was making it go straight on the road in a controlled fashion, same gas will be the power which will create a disastrous wreck. So the advice was clearly raise yourself by the self. But he said to do that, you have to have certain qualifications. You have to make your efforts to raise your lower self to a worthiness that it can start working with the higher self. It can start identifying with the higher self. So the verses which we discussed 7, 8, and 9 describes the state of Yoga Rudha, one who has become one master of his self, you know, master of his lower self, Yoga Rudha. We have seen two terms, Aru Rukshaha and Yoga Rudha. Aru Ruksha, one is desirous to gain that control over his mind, body, and intellect. He's the Aru Ruksha. He's a seeker. For them, the advice was Karma Karana Muchade. Keep working in this world with selfless motivation, and you will achieve that. But once you reach that state where you have that control over that, then they Shamaha Karana Muchade. At that point, the contemplation and meditation to now get to the higher level, to achieve the goal of that eternal happiness. We want to get out of the limitations, no miseries. I want to be happy all the time. Bhagavan said it is absolutely possible. Only when you identify with the higher and not the lower. You are the manifestation of the higher, but my identification right now is with the lower. As long as I don't identify with the lower, its limitations cannot affect me. It is like when you go to the science museum or someplace where there this funny mirror are there. You know, I stand in front of it and I look like I have bloated, you know, 10 times than what I am today. Well, as long as I don't identify that image in the mirror, I'm fine. So I laugh at it. Everybody goes in a funny mirror and laugh at it because they are not identifying with the image they see in the mirror. The clearly identified with the self which is standing in front of the mirror, that's why they can laugh at it. But one who identifies with that, he cannot laugh. He will be crying. Our situation, Bhagavan says, like we are looking at ourselves in this funny mirror and looking at this miserable self, and now we are in misery. But one who identifies with the real self which is standing in front of the mirror, the higher self, which makes this lower self possible, is without any miseries. So the one who has achieved that sense of balance over his self has now become the Yoga Rudha. What will he gain is what we learned in last 3 verses. It says, Jitatmanaha Prasantasya Paramatma Samahitaha Sita Ushna Sukha Dukkheshu Tatha Mana Apamana Yoho. Where do our problems lie? In all the 3s which we have seen here. Sita Ushna. Well, physical condition is not comfortable. The room is too hot or too cold, you know. So at the body level I can be uncomfortable, at a displeasure, but with sukha, dukkha. At a mental level I feel this is good time going on, you know. Or I don't have a good time these days, you know. Things are not working out for me, you know. At a mental level. The mana apamana yoha, honor and dishonor. Intellectually, I feel that people are now respecting me. You know, I have achieved something. Or dishonor, they're not respecting me. All these are cause for pleasure and pain in life. But one who has achieved that Yoga Rudha state, in other words, one who has become one with his higher self, has recognized the existence of the higher self in him, and start aligning himself with the higher self, for him, Prasantasya Paramatma, his self remains equanimous in all the situations because I am not identifying with it. We wrongly understand that the one who has become this, he will not turn on the thermostat adjusted because so what? It is uncomfortable. Well, that's a sheer foolishness. If I have the facility here to adjust the temperature to my level of comfort, then I should do it. Swami Chinmayananda, people used to ask him all the time, Swami, you talk about all this, detachment and all that, but when you come, people come and pick you up in Lexus and BMWs and Jaguars, and why don't you go with somebody who has a broken car? Swamiji says, my friend, I'm a Swami, that doesn't mean I'm completely stupid. As long as there is a more reliable and comfortable vehicle is available, why should I choose one which is completely unreliable and uncomfortable? That's a common sense. It has nothing to do with attachment or detachment. So we wrongly perceive that the person who has achieved has to suffer. Then only he is considered. It simply says the self in him, the higher self in him, is prasantasya, is always at equanimity. It is not disturbed by the outside happening. Whatever is happening in the body level, I see that is happening clearly at the body level. And let the body deal with it at its own capacity. Whatever is happening at the mental level, I see clearly that's happening at the mental level. Let the mind deal with it at its own capacity. And whatever is happening at the intellectual level, let it happen at intellectual, let my intellect deal with it at its own capacity. But I, the self, the balance of my core never gets shaken by this happening in this world. That's why I always say there are no riots when there's 102 degree outside in Richmond. We didn't have any people throwing stones at Richmond City Hall. What's happening here? We were 102 degree. We didn't anticipate. We expected that. We accepted that, that can happen. Let's deal with it with the best situation we can create. So we all turn down our thermostat and let the air condition run as best as it can. They said, but we didn't get upset. We didn't have anything to complain to because we knew that it is something beyond my control. When a yogi becomes one with his higher self, he sees all the occurring at the mental level, the physical level, and the intellectual level occurring at the lower level of existence. But higher self is not involved and does not get attached to it. It's not affected by any of this thing. So that's his fulfillment. Because of becoming Yoga Rudha, he's not now disturbed by this small thing, which used to disturb me before. Before it is hot, we are complaining all over the place. When it is not conducive, complain. Now I can take it as is and look at it as a transitory phase of happening in my life, in my existence, and don't get disturbed by it. The next verse you say, Gnana Vignana Truptatma Kutastha Vijatendriyaha Yukta Iti Uchyate Yogi Sama Losta Ashma Kanchanaha. This is the verse I never understood ever when I was growing up and have started learning Bhagavad Gita's since I was about 18 years old. And I say, wow, what is my attitude in life if that's the case, that I am become sama losta asma kanchanaha, the lump of clay, the iron and the gold, I become equanimous to it. Well, that means I lost all kind of judgment in life, I don't know what to do. Well, it really doesn't say that in your day-to-day transactions in this world that you do not make any differentiation between the usefulness or a value of one thing or the other. But it does tell me that one who has achieved the sense of understanding, one who has the knowledge, jnana, jnana is something which I learned from others, from the books, from the teachers, from my listening, I receive the knowledge. But that knowledge remains at a bookish knowledge till I apply it and understand and make it my own. That becomes vijnana, you know. That was science have laboratories, you know. You go into the, you learn in the classroom and say H2O is water. Then you go to the lab and make it on your own with two molecules of hydrogen and one oxygen and say the water. Now I'm absolutely convinced. That's now my wisdom. Vijnana visishta jnana. That only comes with self-experience. You know. Experimenting what I've learned in my own life, I get wisdom. That's why I didn't understand when I was 18. Now at 62, it is very clear. Okay. Because I've gone through the experimentation of it in life. So it says, jnana vijnana truptatma kutastha. He remains unshaken. And kutastha, whatever, I think it comes from that anvil in the smithy shop. That blacksmith is hammering something on that anvil. That both are made up of iron, but the one changes its shape. And will remain the same. So, kutastha, he remains unshaken by whatever is happening on that. Vijitendriyaha, who has the control over his senses, you know. Yukta iti uchyate, such a person is called fulfilled. Yukta, or harmonized, or one who has achieved the sense of his self. Sama, such an yogi, sama loshta ashma kanchanaha. He sees the lump of clay, the iron, and the gold as same. He sees the same as its original value. What is the value of gold? What is the value of my house? Well, we put this place for lease or sell or whatever. And so what is the value, Neil? What do you want? Well, I may want anything I want. But what is the real value of this place? They all learn in real estate, right? What is the value of a house? Whatever is someone is ready to pay you is the value of your house. You find a buyer and he is ready to pay you X amount of dollar. That's the value of your house. If you can, you may think it's $1 million house, but there's no buyer in the world. What is the value of that? Zero. This company is, somebody was telling me yesterday, the $6 billion company, because of whatever the policies of our government, was sold at $36 million. What is the value of the company? Whatever somebody is willing to buy it for. What is that person is willing to pay you? Whatever it is worth to him. So what is the intrinsic value of thing and being? Zero. There is no real value. It is what you and I find utility in it and then put a value to it. That's its value. That basic understanding of economics when it comes to you, you're the master of the economics. Now you say, I can give you the value of. The value is only when there is an utility. If I am very hungry on a deserted island, and the only thing I can find is the gold, you know, is there any value of that gold to me? Because I had been hungry for the last 10 days or so, I have not eaten anything. No. Value is zero. At that point, what I need is the water and food. So from that point of view, the value which we assign in life to things and being are actually my utility. Or I have learned from others. Right from our childhood, somebody says gold is valuable. That's when now I think the gold is valuable, without even knowing what it is and what it is. When we were in Zambia, now we have heard only the stories, but that when the people break into their houses, there are lots of house break-ins in Zambia and Nairobi when we were living in. He said people will, they will steal everything, the TV and tape recorder and whatever, but the all the jewelry in the house, they will never take it away. Because they didn't find any value. They couldn't sell that to anybody in their whatever villages where they come from, you know. But they can sell TV and tape recorder. So they will steal the tape recorder and TV away, but leave the jewelry alone. Because they had no value for it. They could not sell it. They did not know what the value of it. So the value system which we have assigned to the world of objects outside is either my perceived value or my utility for that thing or an object. So he said the yogi, one who is one with his self, he realizes this value system is purely temporary and relative to each other, each other's utility to one another. And therefore now when he sees it in its being, it will say, it's all same. Sama losta asma kanchanaha. Even from the physics, where does these three come from? Exactly from the same place, from the ground. But because of my utility, I put different values to it. But if I remove my utilitarian being out of this equation, they are all same to me. The sama losta asma kanchanaha. When I am not thinking myself as the utilitarian small being, but an higher being who is beyond this birth and death, beyond this transitory life that I am living, that I become yuktaha, I become harmonized with myself. And obviously the next verse tells us more in terms of our relationship in this world. We have created relationship in this world and say, he's my friend and she's my enemy. And they are my relatives and I have nothing to do with the rest of them. But this verse says, Sruhan Mitra Ari Udasina Madhyastha Dveshya Bandhusu Sadhusu Apicha Papeshu Samabuddhihi Vishishyate. One who has created an equanimous view towards all the beings around him, whether they fall in any of these categories, and it actually covered everything. Suhan, the people who are very sympathetic to me, who see me as someone they can, you know, relate to as a good person. Suhan, Mitraha, friend. You've seen who the friend is. Friend is, he will do anything, good, bad, or ugly, as long as I want to do it. He's my friend. Ari, my enemy. He will do everything opposite of whatever I want to get. So, Ari. Udasina, completely indifferent. He doesn't care what I'm doing. You know, so, Udasina. Madhyastha, indifferent. Again, you know. He neither my friend nor my enemy. You know, Bandhusho, my brother, my relatives, you know. Sadhusho, good people, Mahatmas, you know, people I consider, you know, in the Papesho, the criminals. This is what the society is made up of. My world is made up of my relatives, my friends, my enemies, my, you know, people I consider good. And then I have created a different relationship, a different attachment to them. I want to stay away from some, you know, stay away. But a real wise person knows that these perceptions and relationships are ever changing. Someone I considered a great friend of mine is now my great enemy, because something gone wrong in our relationship. Someone I considered an enemy turned out he's the only one who can help me. And he became my friend. These relationships are constantly changing. And me standing in this time, which is I frozen in my mind as now, and I see that relationship as permanent. But in time, I am changing and the relationships are constantly changing. So what did the wise person do? He remains equidistant from all of them. You know, I go to Charlottesville all the time, so I give Charlottesville example. There is one exit on Route 29. I can never figure out which side, which one is right exit and which one is left exit. One goes 250 north and one goes to 50 south. So when I'm driving and I said, God, I forgot again, which side should I be? Should I be on left side or right side? What should I do? I stay in the middle lane. Because then I have equal chance. If it is on left side, I'll go to left side. If I had to go to right side, I'll go to right side. Because at that point, I can decide that I need to be on the right side or I need to be on the left side. And if I'm on the wrong side and I exit on the other side, I'm done. I'll miss the exit. And then I have to come back after a long detour. So the safest thing for me to be in the middle lane and then figure out at the last minute which lane I need to go to. Wise person is like that because we do not know what our relationships are in this world. He remains in the middle and then changes this relationship as it develops in his life. He never assigns a pre-assigned value and say, he is my friend and I need to be with him, and he is my enemy and I need to stay away from him. Most corporations, when they give donations for the political party, what do? They give equal donation to both parties. It's only the foolish ones don't do that, okay? I work for a large corporation for many. They equal. They will invite a candidate from this party, and the next week they will have a candidate from this party. You know why? Who knows who will gonna win? You know, why should we jeopardize our position? You know. So the wise person remains in the center, equidistant from all this relationship in life, and say, "Samabuddhihi vishishyate." He excels. Samabuddhi, one who remains equanimous and equidistant to all the relationship in this life. Such a person, vishishyate, he excels in life. One who gets too attached to one or the other, at some point of life, he will fail in that relationship.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina. Sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.